With major deposits discovered in the late 1800s, lead and zinc mining became a major industry in Oklahoma for over 80 years. Towns large and small sprang up at the deposit sites, and among those was Pitcher in Ottawa County. All the mining there produced literal mountains of contaminated waste product called tailings and threatened most of the properties in town with cave-ins. In 1980, the town was declared part of the Tar Creek Superfund site by the EPA. The decades that followed saw a steady decline for the little town. In 2007, KCUR's Frank Morris went to Pitcher and filed this report.
Barren, gray heaps of mining waste. Everybody here calls them chat piles. Hem Pitcher, Oklahoma into a grim, man-made valley. Rusty mining towers and ancient-looking concrete columns evoke a bygone era. Rotten old buildings neighbor empty lots. Much of the vitality here is preserved in the memories of people like Orville Hoppy Ray, a spry, mischievous 81-year-old who runs the Pastime Pool Hall and Mining Museum, one of the last open businesses in this town.
And in the 30s was the real Wild West type deal.
As storied mining crews look on from dozens of yellowed old pictures, Hoppy reminisces about the days when 25,000 people crammed into this town. Even though the ore here was some of the poorest on earth, Pitcher's miners blasted and hand-shoveled enough of it to lead the nation in lead and zinc production. At the height of Prohibition, he says, the fights and drinking here went on almost around the clock.
Well, we had 22 bars here, and they had a city ordinance that the bar had to close at 6 o'clock and not reopen till 9 in the morning so they could clean up.
But as they nearly always do, the mines played out. When John F. Kennedy campaigned here in 1960, it was against the backdrop of economic desperation. Later, water flooded the abandoned shafts and dumped acid and heavy metals into the streams. The creeks ran orange and stank. In 1983, the EPA ranked the Pitcher area the country's most hazardous Superfund site, worse than Love Canal. Pitcher still had its chat piles, fun for climbing, sledding, picnics, and keg parties, and the town rallied, as it had for decades, around its churches and schools. But even here, inside the cheery little elementary school, lifelong resident and now principal Kimberly Pace began to notice another problem.
In 1980, as a special educator, I could not figure out what was the matter, what was different, because it just didn't seem to stick. But never having a clue or any thought that it could be based upon these chat piles. The chat piles have always been our friends.
Turned out that the chat piles were laced with lead, and blood tests showed alarmingly high levels of lead in about a quarter of the kids here. Three-quarters of the elementary school students were reading below grade level. The EPA launched a massive remediation effort in 1996, spending more than $150 million. Nearly 2 years ago, Oklahoma offered families with children under six a chance to sell and get out. Standing in the vacant lot where her house used to be, Vicki Phillips says her family reluctantly took the buyout.
We loved it here. See, this house down here is Mom and Dad's. They were our whole world right down there on the corner, see. We didn't want to move. This was home, you know, and everybody knows everybody, and we're all happy here.
But even at this low ebb a couple of years ago, survivors in the town plotted its rebirth.
My name's Ernest Freeman. Everybody calls me Sam. I'm the mayor of Pitcher.
Freeman's sitting in the spacious meeting room in Pitcher's new city hall, one of the many amenities paid for recently with EPA money.
Been a lot of improvements here in the last few years. We asphalted about 23 miles of streets. We put up a brand new water tower, done a lot of upgrade on the water and sewer system. And now it looks like that was all for naught.
I'm just getting to the very summit of the St. Joe pile. It's the largest of the chat piles in this area. It cliffs out on two sides because it's been scooped away to make roads. This is about 150 feet. I'm looking down on the water tower of Pitcher. But these piles used to be twice this high, and there used to be a lot more of them. And they were all chiseled out from underneath that community, leaving gigantic caverns below, which apparently could cave in without warning.
Oh. You can stand here and listen to the material falling into the collapse. You can see the water ripple.
Ed Kahili watches as rocks and dirt tumble down the steep slopes of a collapsed mine shaft into sickly green water. This hole is 200 feet deep, 400 feet wide, and growing. It's one of 70 big cave-ins in the area. Last year, the Army Corps of Engineers warned that about a third of Pitcher could suffer the same fate. Kahili, the son of a Pitcher lead miner who went on to manage the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory before returning to the area to raise cattle, says it was that report that sealed the town's fate.
Pitcher is over. We can't hang on to the Pitcher that we all knew. It's gone.
And we got the closets all cleaned out and in boxes, really. We found things we didn't know we had.
Lifelong residents Tom and Charlotte Crawford are packing up their home of 43 years. They expect to get an offer in the mail from the federal government any day now. Congress has already funded nearly half the $40 million necessary to move the last 1,200 people out of Pitcher. While it's called a voluntary buyout, that's not how the Crawfords see it.
No, they say it's not a mandatory buyout, but it really is, because if you were the only one or a few that didn't sell out, you'd be left high and dry here and no chance of getting any equity out of what you own.
Of course, some who've clung to this town through the relentless economic pounding and environmental catastrophes are not all that pragmatic.
No, I'm not leaving. I think it's for the birds.
Hoppy Ray worked alongside his father down in the mines, and he's lived over them nearly all his life. He plans to keep his house and his pool hall in Pitcher, even as the town he loves withers around him.
Now, my house is paid for. I bought it in 1950, and it's an old house, but it's mine, and I'm not trading that place for a mortgage payment, not at my age. I'm just not going to do it.
Pitcher's very last bar closed for the very last time last Saturday night.
Hey, Mr. Bartender, how can you be so slow? I've got time for one more round and a six-pack to go. For tomorrow morning Sunday, and I'll be feeling mighty low. Hey, hey, bartender, I got a six-pack to go.
That's a Frank Morris story for you right there. The state of Oklahoma disincorporated Pitcher and the town officially ceased on September 1st of 2009. The 2010 census counted less than 20 persons still living there. A current exhibition at the Leedy Volkas Art Gallery here in Kansas City records how Pitcher looks today. Titled Echo, it's the work of photographic artist Sabrina Stairs, who joins me here in the studio. Sabrina, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you, Steve.
Also here is Ray Moore, a former Pitcher resident now living in the Kansas City area. Ray, welcome to you.
Thank you, Steve.
On the phone with me is Ed Kahili, also a former Pitcher resident, whom you heard in Frank's story. Ed, nice to have you. Good morning.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Sabrina, what's your connection to Pitcher?
Well, I'm from Oklahoma, and my father was an environmental engineer in the 70s, and he did a lot of waste cleanup monitoring when I was a kid growing up. So these smaller towns became interesting to me as I realized what he was doing throughout my life.
And how did you get onto Pitcher itself, and why did you want to photograph it?
Well, I heard about Pitcher from several people. Many people went there for recreation and to just explore. And it was only 3 hours from Kansas City, also labeled one of the most toxic towns in America. So it was ideal just to go visit and see what it was like. The big thing about it, though, was the chat piles. They were so photographable as a landscape.
Wow. Well, Ray, give our listeners an idea of what the Main Street looked like when you were growing up there. I mean, what sort of businesses were there in town?
Well, when I was growing up, there was probably 4,000 people still yet in town. And along Main Street, there was a drugstore and a clothing store, a couple of grocery stores. And then Connell, which is what the highway comes through on, it had a couple of hardware stores, barber shops. Mm. It was a great place to grow up.
And Ray, your dad was a miner. I mean,
he was.
Who else in the family worked in the mines?
Oh, I had several uncles. I had two brother-in-laws, three brother-in-laws. And my dad lost his, he wasn't killed in the mines, but he died from complications of lung problems at 47 years old.
How many kids in the family?
There was 10.
10. What, was the family able to make ends meet on a miner's salary? I mean, how did that work?
Well, I had just turned 7 when my dad died, and he was sick the last couple of years. So I don't really remember him doing much mining. After he died, it's a situation that I was embarrassed by, and I didn't like to talk about it, but I was raised on welfare and some Social Security from my dad.
Mm. Ed Kahealy, your dad worked for the mines too?
Yes, he did.
What did your father do when the mines started to give out?
He made the decision that it was time to leave, that he assumed that the mines would never regain the luster of the previous years, and we moved to California in 1957.
Smart move for the family?
Yes, overall, I think so.
And how old were you at that time?
I was 14.
What do you remember most about your time as a kid down in Pitcher?
Just the closeness of the community, you know, how the adults in the community basically policed all the kids. You were afraid to do something. If anyone saw it, they would immediately call your parents. But there was a closeness with the churches and the general atmosphere there. The city dads took care of the town, made sure that the school system was very good, and the town had basically all of the amenities that that were needed, you know, the hospital and so on and so forth.
Sabrina, you selected an unusual way of displaying your photos of Pitcher. They're not in frames and hung on the walls like you typically see. What will visitors to the exhibition see when they come?
They'll see large silk panels that are hung throughout the center of the room. So you wander through the panels almost like wandering through a disappearing town because they're very sheer. And then they're stitched with a gold metallic thread to just sort of be reminiscent of the profit made from the town.
Hmm. Why did you do it that way?
Because it's a haunting, dreamy display that is beautiful, not just an in-your-face look at the tragedy that happened here. It kind of shows the town in a way that the people saw it. The landscape photos are beautiful, like mountain landscapes, the chat piles. So
and the photos were on the silk panels.
Yes. They're shot with a medium format film and a ghosty camera that it's called a Holga. So, yeah.
Wow. Ray, you've been to Sabrina's show. How did it feel to see it represented in the way she did it?
Well, it's kind of like ghosts, the way they float around in there. It was great. The only problem that I had, it didn't tell the story of the love and the good times that I enjoyed as a kid growing up. It was one of the women followed me out as I was leaving to ask me more. She says, got to be an emotional night for you. And I said, it is, but what you're seeing is a sad part. You're not seeing the good times.
Because you say it was a fantastic place to grow up.
Outstanding, outstanding.
For all the reasons we think of American small towns.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That was kind of the point of the exhibit, too, was to talk about how industrialization in small towns support the people and then create a great atmosphere, but the lack of sustainability a lot of times causes the town to fall in on itself because we're not thinking about the ways that we're doing things. And so people aren't sustained they can't keep their homes. They have to leave, you know, like the man in your interview.
I should point out that Sabrina Stair's Echo exhibition is showing through Saturday at the Leedy Volkas Art Gallery at 2012 Baltimore Avenue, downtown Kansas City. So you can go see it between now and Saturday. I want to bring on onto the show Harry Wilson, who lives in Lenexa these days. But when he was a kid, he lived in Pitcher, and he joins us now via phone. Harry, good morning. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
You lived in Pitcher for a decade, mostly in the 30s. Do I have that right?
Yes. Moved down there when I was 4 in 1928, so I saw the Depression hit and a whole bunch of bad times come along.
Your father worked for the mines as a hoister man. What's a hoister man?
Well, he's the guy that's up in the derrick, and they pull the rock out of the ground, dump it in the big hopper.
Yeah.
And he done that most of his life. But, you know, I was down in Pitcher a couple of weeks ago looking at the pictures that somebody's put upon the walls of the city hall.
Right.
And the lady that was working there, I asked her if this government's still going to clean that place up, because I couldn't see a thing they'd done to it. She said, no, they turned it over to the Indian tribe. Well, the Indian tribe is the Miama tribe, and that's my cousin is married to the chief of the Miama tribe.
Hey, Harry, so, hang on half a second. Ed, you can tell us a little bit about this, about the Indian tribe, right?
Well,
I don't know.
Ed, go ahead.
I don't know a whole lot about him, except that Joe Leonard was the chief at that time. He's dead now.
Right.
But
Harry, hang on a second. Let me have Ed explain some of this to us.
Sure. The original mining field was part of the Quapaw Reservation that they were allotted in 1896. And all of the mining on the Oklahoma side of the Pitcher mining field occurred on the Quapaw property. And so when it came time to disperse the land that the government had purchased as a result of the buyout, they decided to return that to the Quapaws. And so that has taken place. And so much of the land in the Pitcher area, in fact, the entire mining field, it belongs now to the Quapaw tribe.
Mm-hmm. Harry, what did you like about living in Pitcher?
Well, it didn't make any difference to me. I was a little fellow just growing up. And about all I did was go to school and eat three meals a day.
What's your favorite memory of it?
Well, I'm not sure. I went... they had a theater there, and we'd go to the show on Saturday and see a movie. Anyway.
Well, Harry, I appreciate you taking a minute and joining us today. Thanks very much.
Well, let me explain that Miami tribe. I rode around with Joe Leonard, the chief, and he said that area there in Pitcher was part of the Miami tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was the part that the government gave back to him. But anyway, the Quapaws had a place down there, but he didn't let me know where it was at. But you say the Pitcher was in the Quapaw tribe?
In the original Quapaw reservation and on the allotments of individual Quapaws.
Yeah. I want to move on here a little bit. Ed, you became a nuclear engineer. You worked in the industry all your life. You traveled a lot for your job, but you always kept in touch with Pitcher. How did you do that?
Well, I traveled throughout the country and plus overseas, and I made frequent trips to Washington, D.C. and other places east, and I would at least a couple times a year stop off at the airport at Tulsa and spend a few days in Pitcher just to keep in touch with old friends and relatives. My brother lived back here, and so I just kept in touch. I always remembered the closeness and the values and so on in the community, and I just wanted to keep in touch with that, you know, doing the kind of work I was doing, traveling all over the country and the world, and a lot of pressure, a very, very busy life. It was nice to have sort of a place to come home to.
And you eventually have settled there or in the area in recent years, right?
Yes, when I had my opportunity to take an early retirement, my wife and I decided to come back here, and we live about 9 miles east of Pitcher. We built a home, and we raise cattle. Always wanted to be a gentleman farmer, not trying to make a living from it, but just for the recreation and enjoying it. So we decided to move back here for a slower pace.
Ray, I understand there's an all-school reunion each year, and you wind up going. How's the attendance?
It's quite good. There's just about every year I will see someone I haven't seen in a number of years that will come back for it. But we have a number of people that come from California or up in the Michigan area or wherever, come a long way just for the reunion.
And have a lot of former Pitcher residents, have they remained in the area?
There's quite a few. Yeah, I moved to Miami or the locations around it, Quapaw Commerce, that have remained down there for a long time.
They're doing the Christmas parade. They did it last year and this year.
Yeah,
going down
Main Street. Yeah, and you've been to some of them, right?
I didn't go to the Christmas parade. I will this year. I was busy last, and I wasn't aware of it till it was coming up on us. But looking forward this year.
Well, that's great. I want to thank Sabrina Stairs for coming in.
Thank you, Sabrina.
Thanks so much, Ray. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ed Kahili, thank you for taking some time as well.
You bet.